Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the 13th and 14th chapter of Luke, the author continually brings out this theme of who is welcome at the banquet table and challenges the religious norms of the time and the people of the time who is worthy, who is welcome, who is part of the feast. And our gospel lesson for today underscores that even more deeply. As Jesus gathers with the tax collectors and the sinners and all of those people that good rabbis shouldn't be hanging around with, I guess, the religious people question what he is up to. This man eats with tax collectors and sinners, invites them to the table, sits down and eats with them, has intimate conversation with them, and touches them. They question Jesus' validity as a religious figure and as a pure person. And so Jesus tells this wonderful and I think somewhat confusing parable about what shepherd, who having 100 sheep and loses one, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and seek the one, and then upon finding it, throw it over his shoulders and walk back to the house, call all of the neighbors and have a party. Well, I read that again for the 200th time this year, and I said, well, nobody. No one would do that. Would you do that? You've got your 99 sheep. Nice, safe, and sound. A huge herd by the standards of a time when 10 to 15 animals was considered a decent herd. So you've got 99 sheep right there, and you're going to leave them unprotected in the wilderness to find the dumb sheep who wandered off and didn't have the sense to stay with the rest? Practicality would tell us certainly not. Most of us, if we were good farmers, good shepherds, that was a little play on words there in my head. If we were good shepherds, wouldn't we just stay with the 99? You stay with what you know. You stay with the ones who were smart and gathered there. And you go on with your day. But Jesus proposes a different economy. And it's an economy that maybe we're a little uncomfortable with, as he equates the 99 righteous sheep with the one. It's one in which he proposes that those who are lost somehow have this incredible value. That the 99, those righteous ones who are already in relationship with God, are not so much in need of the attention of the shepherd. That in fact, they've already been found and they're not likely to get lost anyway. And so we go out into the byways and into the places where those who have drifted away, those who are out of relationship with God, can be found and celebrated. It's a different model, certainly, than most of us in the church use. If you think about how we expend our resources, how we spend our money and our time, how I spend my time, the vast majority of our resources go into taking care of who? The 99. Y'all, here you are, sitting in worship. I'm glad that you're here. It's delightful. It's wonderful. But you're here. We expend so much time and effort and energy keeping you happy. You're the smart sheep. We like you, you're also easy. I mean, in the best sense of the word. Jesus would propose that God already rejoices in you. You are at the feast. But there is the lost one. Those who most need to hear the gospel, who have gone away and need to be found. Now, one commentator very rightly, and I think I agree with him, says, you know, we do often think we're the 99. But he says at our best, what we need to realize is, especially when you look at that word repent, because it says the sheep is found and repents and returns to the fold on the shoulders of the shepherd, that repentance isn't something that happens once, like, you know, you get your diner's card, you swipe it, you're ready to go. The verb is actually one that is continuous. It happens again and again and again and again. And he says if we understand properly what the Gospel of Luke is trying to get at, it's to say that we are always getting lost. All of us. And always, always being found in God. And I think that's a really important point. Because at the very moment, I mean, Jesus certainly seems to bear this out in his preaching to the Pharisees. In the very moment that we think we belong, we don't. In the very moment that we believe that we have found it, we stand most in need of being found in Christ. Those lost ones, it isn't that we are being called to send you out. I mean, it's a good thing. I would love to do this, to send you out and find all the heathen, right? I hope we're past that. I don't know that we are. But there was a time in mission history where we thought mission, where what it meant to be a missionary was to go out and find the heathen people who had never heard about God and bring them to Jesus. Three syllables. So that they could be saved. This gospel speaks of a different story. In this gospel, the lost are worth finding, not because we want to put another notch on our missionistic gun holster, but because we are incomplete without the lost ones. If you ever watch me carefully, every time I get up to leave a room, I do a self-check. It's unconscious. I'm one of those people classified as a loser, in the sense that every time I lose everything, my wallet, my keys, if Jeannie wasn't attached at the hip, I'd probably lose her. But every time I get up, you make the sign of the cross, right? You know, glasses. Remember that one? You have to check everything. Wallet. Keys, and then I can walk away. I lost my keys a few years ago, and to this day, I feel incomplete without them. Now I have another set of keys, but they're not the right keys. I was sure when we moved to Honolulu, we would find those keys. Right, they had to be in a drawer or some old suit, which I don't actually own, or, you know, something. They had to be somewhere. And I have to tell you that at the end of the whole thing, with the house all empty, and Jeannie said, no keys, I'm still looking. We as the church ought to feel just as incomplete when the sheep are lost. They aren't the issue. Their lostness isn't the issue. It's that we cannot celebrate fully without their presence. And so God goes out into the thicket and brings them back and bears them on God's shoulders to this place. Bears you on God's shoulders into the banquet and then bids us have a party. And that's at the core of the story. That it isn't just that you bring the dumb sheep back and put him back with the other sheep, but that in fact God rejoices and celebrates the return of the lost because God's people are complete. And they come right here. All of you will come right here in that celebration. And it's a very quiet party. It's a very Lutheran party. You know, Lord forbid that we should, you know, have any alleluias or anything, but in our own quiet way, we celebrate this incredible gift of grace, and we break out the wine and the bread, and we eat and we drink, and we fall in love with God and one another all over again. But when the lost one isn't here, we're not complete. In the life of the church, in the life of God's people, that completeness comes not by our own action, but by a God who loves the world so much that he would give his only son to die, that the lost might be born back into the celebration. You are the 99 and you are the one. You are shepherd and sheep. You are guests at the great feast, the banquet of God. God's immeasurable grace is poured out in that party, in this party, so that we celebrate again and again the life of Christ here. So, let's have a party.